Welcome to the River of Life Church podcast, your home for weekly messages that will equip you in your spiritual growth. Thank you from everyone here at ROLC and enjoy the sermon.
I'd like to begin by asking a question. Who are you and what defines you as a person? That is the question that will either calls you to excel, calls you to know the direction you're to go, or it's a question, if it's unanswerable, that will cause you just to go with every wind that blows, like the chaff that goes along the ground. It's imperative that we know who we are, because that's what defines us as a person. In fact, you'll find whatever you believe about yourself inwardly will eventually manifest itself outwardly. As the heart thinketh, so we go. In the past 3 years, there has been a huge uptick in the aspect of identity labeling. In fact, in life, there's labels for everything, isn't there? Labels identify people's what? Their affiliations, their lifestyles. Labels are placed on people to show weaknesses or strengths. Think about it. There's a gender identification label. It used to be simple. Now it's male, female, binary. What is binary? Obviously, I know the answer, but it's astounding to see the labels that are continually being created. There are labels for religious beliefs, Christian, Jew, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, and on. Labels have been created for people's sexual orientation. Thus, we have the LGBTQ label, trying to be all-inclusive. Labels for addiction, addictive behavior. You look at an individual who has struggled with alcohol, and the label of alcoholic is placed on them. Other labels that you see placed are he's a gambler, she's a gambler, they're a drug addict. Labels are associated with mental illness and health issues. I'm a diabetic, people will say. I'm a cancer victim. I'm an epileptic. I'm dyslexic. All of these labels that define what's happening in a person's life. Then there's also political ideologies. Republican, Democrat, Independent, Socialist, Communist. All of these labels. And what's concerning is this. People, as they meditate and hold these things long enough, they begin to find their identity in these labels. So I said it earlier, I'll say it again. Whatever you believe about yourself inwardly will eventually manifest itself outwardly. And that's why it's crucial to qualify every label, listen to me, through the filter of God's Word. Just because a thought may hit you, a person may slap a label on you, a doctor, a psychologist, people in school, at your workplace, sometimes labels can be positive, sometimes they're negative. Just because a label has been placed on your life doesn't mean you are that label. Let everything be filtered through the Word of God in our lives. As Christians, it's imperative to know who we are if we expect to move on from where we were. And that's really always part of the journey. When we get saved, my goodness, I know when I got saved, I had so much baggage. There was so much going on in me. I was a broken young man. I was hurting. I had issues. I had strongholds that needed to go. When I was saved, positionally in God's eyes, bang, it was done. But working that out, becoming that, we're all a work in progress. Somebody say amen to that. And so that's why it's imperative. We need one. The moment we find Jesus, that's why I always get so concerned when people don't have time to read the Bible. Because if you're not reading the Word, if we're not reading the Word as believers, as Christians, we're not going to grow. You may feel like you've achieved a certain level. Here's a word for you. Not there yet. You will never arrive in this life. In fact, the other day, Cindy and I were driving, and all of a sudden, the Lord just said to me, not there yet. You know, when we take a journey, and we look at the road signs, or if we have the GPS on, when we're not at our destination, it shows us. And God wants us to know our final destination is not this life, but in His presence. And we're not there yet. That's why there's still a work to be done in our lives. Amen? And knowing who we are will enable us to move on from what we were. That's where change happens. People struggle because they try to debate and argue with the devil. A thought hits them from their past, a memory. It's like the devil has his photo album, doesn't he? And then here we are looking at these things or hearing these things echoing in our memories, in our minds, our thought processes. And then we say to ourselves, why am I still thinking those things? Just because you think it doesn't mean you are it. Moving on to what God has called us to be. That's the whole journey we take as believers. You see, we can't change what we've done. Look at the person next to you and say, that's good. We can't change what we've done, but we can change what we do. And by dealing with our past, it will release us to embrace our future. How many of you want a good future? Those of you watching this broadcast, how many of you desire a blessed and a good future? All of us do. No one wakes up and says, I hope my future is disastrous. We all want to be blessed. We all want to experience the goodness of God and the good things in life. And so as we take and we understand this, by dealing with our past, then you know what it does? It releases us to embrace our future. And this is what Paul is addressing in the verse we're going to be looking at as my text today. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm just so excited to see everybody opening their Bibles, opening their devices, taking notes. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, it's all inclusive. You talk about being inclusive. Almighty God, when it comes to His grace and mercy and His blessing, it's for everyone. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new, look at the last two words, has come. Past tense. It's already there. You already have it. Has come. There is no lasting peace for those who carry the stigma of their past. When they look at this portion of Scripture and they say, one day this blessing, the old has gone, passed away. Behold, the new will come. They retranslate it. It doesn't say it will come. It says has come. When people are still waiting on God to do something He's already done, you'll never arrive then. You'll never encounter and experience all of the benefits that come from loving and serving the Lord. When we know it's already ours, I just have to know how to access it. That's really the journey. That's why we study the Word of God. That's why we gather in worship and hearing the preaching of the Word. You know, the level of our commitment that we demonstrate in our public worship and praise, as well as in our private worship and praise and study of God's Word, will determine how high we go in the things of God, how much we walk in the freedom of God that's already ours. We determine what level of faith we walk in. That's scary, isn't it? Because most people want somebody else to do that for them. No, I want you to determine that for me, Pastor. That's why we pay you. That's why you're here. You're supposed to increase my faith and change my life. No, all that I am is like one of these speakers on the left and the right and up above. God speaks, and I just amplify His voice. And then what we do with His voice, His Word, is up to us. There is, again, no lasting peace if we are constantly holding on to yesterday. So today I want to talk about how to remove these labels. We've all got labels, don't we? Look at some of those. Pride, loser. There are many terminologies. We talked about the labels of the world, the labels of mental illness, physical disease. All of these things that the devil uses to brainwash us, to change how we see ourselves. And then we wind up looking at ourselves and even others through their failures, their weaknesses, their mistakes, rather than the potential God says they possess. But here's that powerful two-letter word, if. If you and I, if others, will embrace the Lord's relationship. Embrace Him completely, fully, 100%. Labels are there such as fear, abuse, addiction. I've counseled, I've ministered over my, I guess at this point, it's 45 years of pastoral ministry. Those who have come through extreme psychological, emotional, and physical trauma. And then they're diagnosed with certain disorders. They walk around with that label thinking, this is who I'll be all of my days. They're the fearful one. That's the person that was abused. That's the addict. You know, if you keep referring to someone, if you keep referring to yourself in these labels long enough, you'll begin to believe those labels more than the promise of God's word. That's why we need to be careful what we speak. Now, I'm not talking about mysticism. I'm not talking about magic, abracadabra, alakazam. Look out, devil, here I am, right? That's not what I'm talking about. Some people try to use the Word of God like that. No, the Word of God is the power and creation of God. And when we release it continually, and most importantly, when we're in the midst of the bombardment of all these name-calling, all of these labels, these negativities, if we begin to repeat what the devil is saying, we give birth to those things and they gain root in our lives. That's why when I began to find out what Jesus thought and said about me in His Word, so I could read it over and over and over again, it began to change how I viewed myself. I had so many regrets. And when Jesus touched me, He said, son, I see you through the filter of my blood. When's the last time you could see past to the mistakes of others through blood? In fact, when I gave my heart to Jesus, just like all of you, it was like God the Father was up there with Jesus. Another one got saved. Then Jesus went, oops. He spilled His blood over that entire record. And the Father said, son, look at what you've done. And Jesus said, I know, isn't it wonderful? Their sins are covered in blood. God the Father says, well, you know, I don't remember them. Is there any other records of these sins? No. Under the blood. But instead of saying that, at times we hear these things and then we try to make it up. We try to earn it. We try to remove grace. We try to remove mercy. You know what mercy is? It's receiving something you don't deserve. And you know what grace is? It's receiving something that you don't possess. But God does. God does. Labels. There's labels of poverty. Some families have had poverty generation after generation after generation. And God doesn't want His people in poverty. We may never be millionaires. Don't think that God came to make you rich, but He did come to give you more than you need, more than enough. That's why one of His names is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Labels of poverty, inferiority. Oh, look at how Moses started out and look at how he finished. Moses had a speech problem, whatever that was. Some say maybe a stammering tongue, a stutterer. But he told God, I can't talk to Pharaoh. I can't speak to the people of Israel. I don't speak well. I struggle. So he started out with having someone that was his spokesperson, his brother Aaron. But you just read a chapter or a few forward, then Aaron is pretty much removed from the picture, and Moses, because he began to see himself. Not Aaron as God's spokesperson. But God had called Moses. When we begin to see ourselves the way God sees us, then those feelings of inferiority, inadequacy, I'm not qualified, I'm not good enough. God purposely defies what man says is the stepping stone, the process, in order to bring glory to his name. My goodness, if he could have called this guy, when I was in high school, I wasn't the best student. And then when God got a hold of my life, I never intended first going to college, let alone, if I finished, going all the way on to complete a doctoral study degree. And look what God does. It's a good thing I stopped looking at myself the way I saw me from the devil's narrative and allowed God to speak future and destiny and hope, strength into my life. And he's there to do the same for you. Somebody shout me down. Say amen, Pastor Craig. Hopelessness. You know, when you have no vision, when you feel you have no worth and you're filled with all these labels, they just slap, the devil will slap them all over you. And Satan, the kingdom of darkness, not only he, but he'll use people to do the same. Then that's when it's just who I am. Why do you think in the world, people who wrestle with these sins, with these identities. I'm born this way. Listen to me, Lady Gaga is no prophet. Her hit song that made her millions of dollars, I was born this way. We're born in sin. But when we're born again, sin and its stigma and its controlling power, it's removed. It's like, you know, Peter said in his epistles, let him who sin no more. Jesus said to the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, go and sin no more. Jesus would never ask us to do something he hadn't already empowered us to accomplish. It is possible, and it's God's intention. When it comes to our past and all of the sins, all of the vices, all of the labels that are slapped all over us, God intended when we were born again to grow in our faith, gain a knowledge of what he says, God's narratives, his dialogue. His opinion is the only one that matters. And when we take and fill our mind, it says in Revelation 12:11, they, speaking of Christians, the church, overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the born again experience, and the word, everybody say the word, the word of their testimony. If we're not in the Word, if we're going and worshiping at a place that just gives us a nice homily, a life lesson, I don't want that. You know, I had milk in the beginning, but soon after I became a meat eater when it came to the things of God's Word. And there's no vegetarians in the spiritual realm, amen? In the natural realm, there is. We have a few here. We welcome that. It's a healthy lifestyle. But when it comes to spiritual things, he wants his people eating meat. Spiritual food that we can grow. Becoming women of God. Not a child of God. We're a child for a season. I have grandchildren. But they're going to grow up to become, you know, my granddaughter and my grandson. They're going to grow up to become men and women of God. No longer children. You know, we're babes for a season. But if we remain as an infant, that's when people in the natural take their children to the doctor to see if they have that growth disease that causes people, the human body, not to progress. And children remain outwardly as a child when I have seen some listed on Google when I've researched certain things of this nature where there will be a 50, 60, some year old man or woman with the body of a child. When that happens, you find out what's wrong so it can be corrected. And God doesn't want us to remain babes when we've been saved 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. It's time to grow up. Hallelujah. It's time to really say, okay, you know, stop looking for someone else to feed you. Can you imagine if you had your son or daughter with you, you go out to dinner? And they're your son or daughter. maybe one of the sons in our church, Emil and Lena, and they're out for dinner, and then all of a sudden Chelsea and Kathy, they walk into a local restaurant, and then they see Lena feeding Emil. Okay, take your meat. Let's make you a strong boy. Of course, we laugh because we know that's not what the intention is. But how many of us do that with spiritual things? Feed me, Pastor, feed me. I'll give you the ingredients. I'll give you the recipe. But you've got to cook it. Is this making sense? And that's when the labels begin to come off one by one. Labels that tether us to the pain of our past. Labels that hold us captive to the works of the devil. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is found in 1 John 3:8. The apostle says this regarding the purpose of why Jesus came to earth. He says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works. Notice that's in the plural. I love that because I had a lot of labels. I didn't have one label on me. I had all kinds of labels on me before I got saved. There are many strongholds, many works of the devil that held me captive. And John says the reason Jesus came, the Son of God appeared, was to destroy, plural, the works of the devil. That means he came to set us free. When we find Jesus, we find freedom. I don't feel that, Pastor. That's because you got to begin to renew your mind. You know, when you first started in school, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and then after graduating high school, higher education, you were constantly feeding your mind knowledge. And by giving your mind knowledge, you were able to mature and have greater skills and capabilities and possibilities. The same thing is true with our walk with God. We've got to have a good Christian education. That's why, I'm sorry sometimes I say it too much. Well, I'm not really sorry, or I wouldn't keep saying it because God would convict me. And then I'd have to stop. But never, especially with your children, prioritize all of the extracurricular options of the world to where it trumps bringing your children for a Christian education. Oh, but they get it at home, Pastor. Your kids will only listen to you so far. They need the voices of others. That's why there's coaches out there. That's why there's tutors out there. Another voice. Children need that. Raise up a child in the way they should go. That's what Scripture says. And in the end, they won't depart. You got to build a foundation or the devil will destroy them with all of the labels he will slap on their lives. And I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there are many Christian children from parents who love Jesus who are struggling with many of the labels the world is saying, that's normal. That's the way it is. Because they don't have it here. So it could take a recess and foundation here. More than ever, we're living in desperate times. What we're seeing in the Middle East now, last night, there was another invasion from Iran into Israel. And this is Bible prophecy coming into fruition, coming to pass, being fulfilled. If you think just because we're thousands of miles away, a seven-hour time difference, I think it was exactly 3,500 miles one way because I flew there last year. And that's what I saw in my mileage calculation as far as my frequent flyers. Not that I'll be a frequent flyer there, but I have them if I want them. And sometimes we feel so far removed that doesn't affect my world. They are already here. Those that hate our nation, they hate Christianity, they hate Jesus, they hate the Jewish people. Our nation, the narratives, you see how they've changed. Unless there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is what we all should be praying for. Wednesday nights we should be filled. Interceding, crying out, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. Right now, I believe we have in America a sleeping church. It's time to wake up. All these things that are happening, honestly, it should be like poking a sleeping bear. It should wake us up. Don't think that anyone gets a bye. There is an escalation, and if these are indeed, and I believe with all my heart, but I'm not God, but I've never seen in my life as a scholar and a theologian, I have never seen the fulfillment of prophecy and scriptures as to where they are now. And that means if indeed then this is the final countdown, then that means things will progressively intensify. Wickedness will increase. Sin will increase. We're seeing that just like the days of Noah. We need to know who we are. Now, this isn't the kind of preaching that fills churches, but it's the kind of preaching that fills people with the Spirit of God if they'll listen. And I'd rather have God smile than the world's accolades. Big is nice, but it's not always better. Somebody say amen. Amen. And that's not a cop-out, because I've pastored big churches. I've spoken before thousands upon thousands of people. I'm not about numbers, but I do know when something is healthy, it grows. But I know spiritual health that we need is for people to become passionate, and cry out for revival. Hallelujah. Jesus came to set people free. He wants to put a label on us that says, redeemed. And then all the old labels that we've been wearing for so long, all of those mindsets, those addictions, those lifestyles, when we come to the Lord. Someone was giving me testimony. Oh, a gentleman from our congregation. I'll let him share his testimony once. He's just been saved a few years. And Cindy and I enjoyed fellowship with he and his wife just Friday evening. And he shared with me, he goes, you know, when I got saved, my life was messed up. I didn't really know anything about Jesus other than Catholicism. And there was no hope for me there. It's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. And then when I got saved, it was a guy on the job working construction with me. And he said, oh, isn't God good? Look at that sunrise there. And he says, what do you mean God is good? Can't you see him in the skies, in the heavens? He said he had never heard anybody speak like that. And then quickly, fast forward, this guy led him to the Lord after weeks, a few months. Then he went to church. He shared with the pastor in an altar call, man, I just can't stop smoking weed. He goes, I mean, I'm addicted to it. I can't get it out of my mind. I can stop smoking, but then I want it. I can't get it out of my mind. He says, I was prayed for. I never had a desire after that. Completely removed instantly. What did God do? He took off a label. He slapped on redeemed, and he believed it. And honestly, what we believe determines what we'll do. If we don't believe in Jesus, if we're not fully committed and persuaded, then we're not going to go any further than we are. But I got to tell you, every night, last night I was on my knees before God for this service today. And I just said, Lord, I need to go a little further with you. I don't want to get stuck where I am. I love you, but I need to go further. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Help your servant. I say yes. And that needs to be our hearts. You see, when we understand that, then the labels, one by one, God begins to remove the memories of the past and the belief system that says, I can't ever change. Then when we know, I can't change, but he changed me, so I'm just following what he already did for me. And one by one, everything is removed. And that provides us with what? Freedom from the shame. Because one of the things I hated most in my life, and many I've spoken with, they just wish that they didn't have that memory. They say, why did I do that then? Well, we did it because we didn't know the Lord. And we were ruled by the kingdom of darkness. You know, either you know Jesus or you don't. And those that don't know the Lord, you're a slave to the kingdom of darkness. Sooner or later, he's going to have his way. But when you know the Lord, that's when the transformation takes place. So you know when the devil throws shame up at me and just causes me to feel so overwhelmed, every time that happens, I just say, Lord, thank you for taking that shame. Thank you, I'm not that anymore. Thank you that you loved me that much. See, when I see that shame, when the devil shows me that shame, it also shows me the cross where my shame was nailed, where my sin was nailed, my embarrassment. Sin's embarrassing when you're found out, right? You know when it says in Scripture, be sure your sin will find you out? Devil, the Lord never throws anybody under the bus. The devil does. He's the father of sin. And Scripture says, your sin will find you out. Sin reveals its perpetrators. And so when that happens, that's when people, they have a come to Jesus moment sometimes. And if they really come to the Lord, praise God, that's what we want. But others are just, they're not sorry for their sin. They're sorry they got caught. And that's why when we come to the Lord and we really fully commit, then we just say, okay, no, Lord, I am sorry for my past, but I'm excited about my future because I'm looking at my label. It says more than a conqueror. It says forgiven. It says free. It says redeemed. It says washed by the blood. Are you hearing this? When we are reminded of our past, look at the new labels God has put all over you now. God removes one thing so he can replace that thing with his Holy Spirit and with all of his benefits. I love what David said in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You take on a new job, you look at the benefits. Well, there is benefits to salvation. By his stripes I'm healed. My sins are forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, they're removed. And if God can't remember them, what in the world are we trying to remember them for? Amen? That's shame. You see, shame is a byproduct of public embarrassment. And that's what the devil wants to do. That's what happened to Jesus on the cross. He did not have a loincloth on him, as we see depicted in so many movies and pictures and portraits that have been done. He was completely unclothed. He lay bare. And he was publicly shamed so that he would take ours. Have you ever heard people say about someone else? Oh, they say, hey, what about so-and-so? Oh, if you only knew. If you only knew. See, that is the reputation that follows bad decisions. And that is the shame that is taken on until we bring that sin, that shame, to the cross. The Apostle Paul, what did he say in Romans 7:19? For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Sounds like he had some kind of an addiction or habit, something that needed to go in his life. Now, he didn't live his whole life with that. But he was sharing, hey, I've been where you are, Church of Corinth. I know what it is to come to the Lord and then God begins to transform our character so that we can become more like him. Spiritually, we're instantly transformed, but shaping and molding our character, removing the flaws, the imperfections, the old ways that we learn from being in the world for however long. Then when we come to Christ, he changes us. So Paul was saying, hey, I've been where you're at. I have wrestled with things as well. But he's Christ my Savior. Amen. My deliverer. My redeemer. So when Paul was speaking, he was speaking the words of a man wrestling with the label of guilt. And that's why if Paul was going to embrace his future, he needed to deal with his past, and he did. And what God taught him, he taught others. That's why God teaches you. Why do you think you walk the road you walk? When you're believing God for something, when you're seeking him for direction. You know, God is constantly wanting to mentor us if we'll allow him. And so when you take and you look at all of the guilt, One of my favorite verses that God used to settle that pain in my life is found in Isaiah 54, verse 4, when the Spirit of God says through the prophet, "Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth." In other words, it won't be haunting you anymore. It won't be your defining moments any longer. They'll be removed from the forefront of your mind and thinking. And you'll forget them. You won't be constantly seeing yourself as inadequate, inferior. "I will cause you to forget the shame of your youth." You know what shame is? It's the prison guard of sin. And when you remove the sin, when you change your citizenship, you become a believer in Christ, that prison guard of shame, of sin, doesn't need to be there anymore. Hey, you're removed from duty. "The Spirit of the Lord watches over me. The angel of the Lord encampeth around those that fear the Lord." I got a new guard, and it sure isn't you. And then once the guilt and the shame of our past, when they're removed, when we really begin to see ourselves how God sees us, that's when we experience freedom from sorrow. How many know the name Henry Wadsworth Longfellow? Great writer. He said this regarding sorrow. "Every man," or woman obviously, but he said, "every man has his secret sorrows, which the world knows not. And oftentimes we call a man cold when he's only sad." Sometimes you look at a person, man, they're a snot. They're rude. I said hi to them, they didn't respond back. It's not about us. And that was the amazing thing about our Lord. He was always about others. Couldn't offend him. Right? Paul said in Romans, Jesus made himself of no reputation. If you really want to exceed in your walk with God and in life, then stop worrying about how you look and worry about how God looks. You know, it's amazing how whenever there's an election coming up, whatever politicians are running for whatever offices, then all of a sudden all the opponents find all of the dirt. You see commercials. I hate the commercials. You see all of the dirt. Everybody's got dirt. You've got dirt. Those of you watching online, you've got dirt. Everybody's got dirt. But what takes place, they want to cause individuals' reputations to be tarnished or damaged. Whereas, like Jesus, he made himself of no reputation. That's why sin couldn't grab hold of him. See, sin is about what's in it for me. When Eve looked at the fruit and saw it was pleasant to the eye and also good to eat, it was what was in it for her. The devil said, "If you eat this, surely you will be like God. What's in it for me?" That's what sin's about. When people rob and steal, they want something for me. It's my turn. I'll get it however I want. But when we make ourselves of no reputation, it's not about me. It's about him. Then you know what? Maybe some of the decisions all of us have made before we knew the Lord, and some of the people who are public figures have displayed through all of the many smear campaigns on both sides. If they had done what Jesus wanted to begin with, there wouldn't be as much dirt to use against them. Somebody say amen. And that's with us. We all have dirt. So the key in life is once we come to Christ, hey, if somebody brings up your past, I had that happen. And when I see, you know, friends, bandmates that were in the music circuit like I was, and also teammates from football that I played all through high school and sports, you see some they don't know you've changed yet. "Oh, man, you were an animal." Well, now I'm a new animal. I'm a new creation. I tell them about Jesus. You know, so sometimes people will bring it up, but then you bring up why you're different. "Yeah, that was me. I bet you can appreciate now I'm a preacher. You know, God does miracles." You see, when the devil brings up your past, tell people what Jesus is doing in your present. Tell them the hope and the future you're stepping into every day. God will honor that. And that will cause you more and more to believe it here. That freedom from sorrow. Oh, I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my pain. I'm trading it all for the joy of the Lord. When we got saved, we traded our old labels for a new label, a new name, written down in glory. I love that Crystal Gayle song, and it's also an old hymn in the Christian church. Wonderful words. Man, I think God wants his people to really step up, because you're getting beat up or you're being stifled. You're not going further. And when I got saved, you know, it's just, I even changed my associations. How about you guys? You know, if I stayed with all of the people I ran with before I knew Christ, I would have never changed. Oh, I had a come to Jesus moment. It was wonderful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. But I would have never grown, because I wouldn't have positioned myself to grow and to change. So I changed what I did. You know, it's just that old lifestyle. No, not anymore. And I began, every time the doors were open at the church I attended, I was there. I wanted to grow. I was there for prayer meetings. I was there for men's breakfast. We had an incredible men's breakfast yesterday. Wonderful time. And every time I could be around wherever God was bringing something that I would benefit from in his kingdom, I was there. I came with the hungry bag. It's like, you know, children collecting candy. Fill it up, Jesus. Fill my bag up. Fill my life up. When we do that, then the sorrow from our shame is removed. You see, and that's when believers will begin to experience my closing point. Freedom from sin. Now, the moment you're born again, you're free. You don't need to run to this meeting, that meeting, say, I need a deliverance. If you don't have the Holy Spirit living within you, that means you're a non-believer. Non-believers can have the presence of evil spirits that need to be broken. But when you come to Jesus, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, takes up residence in your life. And that means when the Holy Spirit comes in, any squatter's got to go. We hear a lot on the news of all these squatter rights. I can tell you right now, not because I'm a preacher, but because I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit, just like all of you who love Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's not going to allow any squatters, especially from the kingdom of darkness. Because the Word of God is very clear in 1 John 4. Light and darkness don't mix. But what the devil does, he will convince you otherwise through lies, untruths, contradictions to what God has said in his written Word. Then, because you're not growing in your knowledge, you think, well, why am I still struggling? Why do these thoughts still hit me? Why am I walking through this? And we run from place to place, book to book, television speaker to television speaker. If I send a $1,000 seed faith gift, and there's nothing wrong with sending offerings, I'm not saying that, but you can't buy the blessing of God. That's why they call it grace. That's why they call it mercy. And what's waiting is just, Lord, I thank you. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. Oh, shanda babasite. I am forgiven. I am empowered. Greater is he who is in me. I can do all things. Oh, shanta bosite apaposita. My goodness, it's time to think like that. His church, not one, not a few, but the body. When we start thinking like that, then we'll know what God prioritizes. We'll know what God stands for. There'll be no debate. People say you shouldn't preach like you preach. You shouldn't touch on issues. How will sinners know whatever the sin is that has them captive and in bondage? How will they know that it's sin so they can repent and Jesus set them free if preachers and Christians don't tell them? It's not an alternate lifestyle. Once an alcoholic, not always an alcoholic. Doesn't mean you can go back and drink. Doesn't mean you can go back and start taking drugs. But the miracle of salvation, my dad was an alcoholic. And I shared this with him after I got saved. I was instrumental in his life. I said, "Dad, you're free. Stop standing up at these meetings and saying, 'My name is and I am.' No, stand up and say, 'My name is, I once was, but now I'm free indeed.'" What we speak, what we believe here inwardly, will determine what we display outwardly. I know many of you carry pain and shame. I get it. The devil hits me with it, but I remember. I remember, if any man be in Christ, our verse, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone, past tense. The new has come. You know, I love when you begin to look at that verse. In fact, in Revelation, it says, chapter 21, verse 4, he, speaking of Jesus, once we're with him, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall no more, death shall be no more, and neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have what? Passed away. And when Paul says, old things are gone, it's the same word in the Greek, passed away. Too many people are listening to the voice of a dead man. Because if you're saved, God has told us in his word that those sins have passed away. They're deceased. They've died. They're gone. Stop listening to the voice of a dead man. The old is gone, has passed away. Behold, new has come. That's what Paul says. And that's why we can release our past. Because he already unhooked the leash. Run free. Don't allow all the years you were on the leash of sin to determine your loyalty to that leash. It's not the same anymore. You're free. But you have got to eat. You have got to grow. You've got to do what's necessary, or you will never change from where you are now. Step it up. Take it to the next level. You know, think of it this way. Sin is like an anchor, right? And when a ship wants to leave port, what do? You hear the captain or whoever is in charge of the deportation of the vessel say, "Anchors away." Well, you know, the same is true for us. The past is a spiritual and emotional anchor. And none of us will move forward until we remove it. And so I ask the question, how many of you are ready to move forward? Those of you watching the broadcast, how many of you are ready to move forward? If so, I want you to literally do this. If it's your desire to leave port and to venture out to the things God has for you, greater things, then I want you to make a spiritual proclamation, and don't you dare allow silliness of mind to cause you to say, "I'm not saying that." If you're really ready for more, then I want you to shout out. And those of you who are watching this online, right now, I want you to shout out wherever you are, "Anchors away." You hear me? On the count of three. That way we'll all be one. On the count of three, for all of you who are watching this. If you're ready to leave port, you're tired of being controlled and dictated by your past, sin that no longer has a stronghold on you, then at the count of three, you're making a public confession. You're saying, "The anchor goes, it's gone. Anchors away." One. Come on, everybody participate. Two, here it is. Three, anchors away. God heard your voice. He heard your voice. And once that label of shame and sorrow is gone, that's when we step into that freedom. You see, when the guilt and shame is removed, there's freedom. We don't feel that pain anymore. We don't feel responsible any longer. We understand where it really began, who the source was of the temptation and the evil. And because Jesus broke the tempter and he broke the evil, he set us free. Jesus came to earth, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, for this reason. For he, God the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God knew we needed help. And Jesus came to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. There is a pathway to freedom. John says it in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Never allow your past to define your present. No more shame, no more sorrow, no more sin. No more labels. Father, I just thank you that I carry the label redeemed. Those that know and love you, they carry the name and the label redeemed. And so, Father, I pray if there's anyone in this auditorium, if there's anyone who's watching this broadcast, if they have never confessed your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior and Lord, then, Father, I pray this would be the day that the labels of hell and sin and failure are removed and they can be given a new label, a new name. Hallelujah. Redeemed. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And I pray that you would burnish this word in our hearts and minds. It's time for the church to rise up. It's time to know we're not here to serve ourselves. It's time to know we're not even here to be served. It's time to understand, because of the miracle you've done in us, you've called us to serve. Make a difference. Be your voice. Be the light in the darkness.
Thanks for listening to the River of Life Church podcast. Subscribe and rate us right now on iTunes to be first to get access to new audio messages every week. Visit rolcdoylestown.org or like us on Facebook to always stay up to date on what's going on at ROLC. If you would like to support this ministry, visit the online giving page at our website. Join us next time for more from River of Life Church.